your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're on a topic this month of mystic order, fantasy, or quality of being. This topic explores the place of a mystic experience, if in fact we have them, in our lives, and also the question, does our Reiki practice actually give us a greater potential to have these mystic experiences, and if so, then what does that mean for us as human beings and as Reiki students? Today I have with me a student from the Netherlands. His name is Boudewijn Muntrik. I hope I pronounced that right. And
you're fine.
Oh, good. Welcome to the show, Boudewijn.
Thank you very much, Phyllis.
Yeah. And I have had a wonderful opportunity to receive emails from Boudewijn, and we have called them walking the dog emails because they're musings that he has done as he's walked his dogs early in the morning. And I find them to be really sometimes challenging, sometimes inspirational. And this one really touched me, and especially in this topic of mystic experience. And I'd like to read you the email, and then we'll go from there in my interview with Boudewijn. Dear Phyllis, this morning I was up very, very early, like 4:30. I took the dogs for a walk while enjoying the silence of the early morning. The mist in the fields just behind the dike, the silent figures of cows and horses in their meadows, a buzzard suddenly flying up, disturbed in his morning rest by two playful dogs with its meow sound. I like this time of day. It feels like there is a promise in the air that has no words, but all meaning. I was pondering over the loss of a friend. She died last week, age 59. A bacterial infection wrecked her health. The mystery of life, it never ceases to amaze me. And with that, I found I touched the meaning of mystic order of all times. The question that everybody, in his or her own way, seems to look for an answer. What is the meaning of this life? Whether we look at Masonry, the Celtic orders, the Essenes, the Cathars, or any other order in times far in our history, or nowadays, they are all schools where the disciplines were looking for the meaning of life. Reiki, in that respect, is not so different. For a long time, the church, as an institution, was the place where people did come to find their answers. The priests, the vicars, and the ministers were the persons who studied and claimed they had the answers, until it became obvious that they too were looking for answers that were not available in books. People turned away from churches. Religion became a word with an ambivalent meaning. On one hand, it could mean that people surrendered to clerical leaders for their well-being, allowing those persons to tell what was good and what was not, what was God's will, as if they had a direct phone connection with heaven, as they interpreted to be. That is called doctrine. When it became apparent that these people, too, did not have the answers, that was the time that churches became more or less obsolete. These days, the remarkable fact occurs that people start reading holy books, be it the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, or other books. Another remarkable notion I see is that the meaning of these books all have the same mystic message. each of them written in the context of time and culture. Reiki, in this context, is for me very much a mystic order, indeed, and one that attracts me for the practice that goes way beyond the physical treatment. Trying to live the five precepts on itself is a lifelong task. Also, its seeming simplicity is just a cloaking device. Below that simple practice is a whole new world that slowly starts to reveal itself to me. By our thoughts and our emotions, we create our own world. This is what I found as the truth once it was pointed out to me. You said so well that we are all spiritual beings in a body. Consider this. If we had no body, all we could do was think and feel. Now that we have a body, we can act according to our thoughts. But also, all the strong feeling we have act as a call to those who can respond to those feelings. And with that, we create situations, consciously or unconsciously, that we like or dislike. Any judgment, however, comes from our ego, and ego is temporary. It can change and will change over time. Because ego does change, it is not an absolute truth. Its judgment is thus of no value. And this makes a situation just what it is, a situation. If we can then look at the situation, we can also learn to see our own creative power in it. At the moment, I learn again the power of the symbols of Reiki when consciously working toward creating chances and situations. This is one of the aspects of the mystic order that Reiki is also. It brings me closer to my spiritual self. This is what I would like to share with you. And this is what I would like to share with you, listeners.
Mm. Thank you very much for reading it out his way, Phyllis.
Well, it was a beautiful writing, and it really set me to thinking about this part of us as human beings that I consider that we are a part of us has what we call mystic experiences. And I know that, obviously, you agree. And I'm just wondering, for you, do you remember having mystic experiences before you were initiated in Reiki?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Where did these come from? Can you give me an example, like maybe walking the dogs? I don't know.
Oh, yes, well, walking the dogs, of course, is a mystic experience by itself, because these are not dogs, these are border collies, which is different. Sorry for my fun. No, but serious. One of the experiences I do recall is with my ex-wife. She was telling things about somebody we knew. And I didn't know where it came from, but it was like somebody else was speaking through me. And
uh-huh.
it was so strong and so like from another world.
Uh-huh.
But even my ex-wife had to say, like, "Whoa, I never heard you speak like this. You taught me something."
Uh-huh. And where do you feel, where or who did you feel you tapped into?
Well, I have to go back to 2000 when I was in Cataldo with you at the winter retreat in February 2000. One of the things that happened there was that you were very working too much timing. Feel when it's the time to say the right thing.
Uh-huh.
And what I experienced there was like a deep silence coming over me every now and then. And not just the silence, like I don't have words, but even there were no thoughts. I just was.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I found that there were words coming up. I didn't know where they came from. Didn't really matter where they came from. They were just there. And it's, Khalil Gibran once wrote it in one of his books, The Prophet, and I don't recall what part it was, but he said, if you can lend your mouth to the mouth inside yourself, so that the speaker inside yourself can speak, you will touch the ear of the listener with a power beyond belief. And I think that the biggest secret, especially in the Western world, is that we can learn ourselves to be silent again and just wait what words do come up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there are no words.
Mm-hmm.
And you simply say nothing. Okay, well, I'm just here. I don't have words, but I'm here. Sometimes you feel, okay, there are words, and I have to speak them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what happened at that situation with my ex-wife. I was kind of flabbergasted the way she spoke about this person, because this person was always very kind to her. And it was like a gray mist coming in my brain, like, this can be. And then all of a sudden these words came, and I felt very centered, like, I'm here, I speak, and I speak what I feel I have to say. And, well, it was a remarkable situation, and, well, I've had these experiences every now and then, not constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. As a young boy, so, once... Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I just want to interrupt you just a moment here. So, would you say that this has to do with something like channeling? Or is it different?
No, channeling is different. Channeling is definitely different. What I felt at that time, looking back, is that my ego became small enough to let a better part of myself speak.
Uh-huh.
And that is not channeling, because channeling is definitely opening yourself for somebody else to speak through you. And that was not the case.
Well, that's good, because I just heard what you said, and I thought, oh, I wonder if he's talking about channeling. So that makes it clear, and for you, it was a mystic experience because it was something other than normal, or what?
It was different than normal, yes, because in daily life, we work a lot with our thoughts, and we bring logic in our words, but this was beyond logic, but it was all logical.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
It makes sense.
It made sense at the time. Good. Well, we're going to be back with Baudouin and more of his story after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Boudwin Munterik, and he's from the Netherlands. He's a student of Reiki, and he often writes me these emails of musings as he's walking the dog. And the one that I read in the first section had to do with his feeling of Reiki being a mystic order. So we've been exploring that. And perhaps what I'd like to do now, Boudwin, is just ask you if you can share with us how you met Reiki and perhaps your motivation, like what brought you to Reiki.
Okay. Well, it was first back in 1992 when I just divorced my ex-wife. I was invited to the house of a friend who lived in the east of the country. I lived in the west at that time. I went there, had a chance to be outside, just outdoors, walking through the woods, etc. One evening, she offered to give me a Reiki treatment. Well, the worst strip had developed in the years, came out, and my first thought was, Jesus Christ, this is so good. I don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. That lasted for 2 weeks, and then I had my Reiki first degree with Rosalind Selig. A few months later, my mother was brought to hospital with a brain hemorrhage, very severe brain hemorrhage. So I went to the hospital, and the doctor came out. He said, you better warn all the relatives you have, because this woman isn't going to live for another hour. So I went in, and while I went in, I heard this voice ringing in my ear. Okay, they can treat her. You can. Start. And she had a very irregular breathing, but I started treating her. And I didn't really know what happened, but I put one hand on her head, one hand on her stomach, and treating, and just contemplating on the meaning of the Reiki symbol. The next thing I know is that she opened her eyes and said, get your hands off my stomach, because I have to vomit if you don't get it away. That was 2 days later. It seemed for 2 days, but just treated her. And during that treatment, I experienced several things which I can now relate to the symbols of Reiki second degree. So I felt like, okay, this is fun. I want second degree. But I didn't have money. Well, when I came home, I had a tax refund of $600, which was enough for Reiki second degree. So I called my Reiki master at that time, Rosalind Selig, and she said, well, this is very peculiar, because in a week time, I do have a Reiki class second degree with Paul Mitchell. Would you like to join? Yes, I want. So I don't think I went into Reiki, but Reiki placed itself on my way, like, here I am, and there's no going away from it.
Uh-huh.
And, well, during the time, I also met my wife, Elena, and she too is a Reiki student. And because of our intense contact, Reiki is not so much a practice, it's a way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes beyond the physical treatment, which goes beyond trying to live the five precepts, but is really integrated into our daily life. And
mm-hmm.
Yes, that's how I came into Reiki.
Uh-huh. Well, many people who have their Reiki stories really have this feeling that Reiki, in the same way that you do, that Reiki either found them or they were searching for something and Reiki came across their path, and that was their answer to an inner question that they didn't even know they had, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems also like a part of the mystic experience, that there's something beyond what we know and beyond what we care about that that we're conscious of that happens, and it's a very deep feeling that our needs are met, whether we actually consciously know our needs or not.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that, or?
Yes, yes, absolutely. The way I see it, and I have experienced it over time with friends and people we knew, that somehow everybody is looking for what I actually wrote in this email, what is the meaning of life? And
uh-huh.
Some people try to find the meaning in hard work, making a lot of money, and it's like a dead-end row. It's a dead-end street. And then you start looking around, okay, well, this is not really what I want. So what is it? Now, what I recall at that time, because I was in divorce then, was one evening I lived quite near the sea in the West Coast country at the time. I was walking over the beach and was late, very, very late one evening, was in December somewhere, that I really shouted, like, what the, I'm not going to say this out loud, do you want from me? Help me then. And, well, the next day I got a phone call from this relative, what I told you about.
Uh-huh.
And then it all started, like, okay, you want some help? Here we are.
Oh, amazing.
As, there is a saying here in Holland, U roept wij draaien. You say, we do it.
Great. Great. So, I know that you had a very profound experience with a friend of yours who, with whom you shared Reiki for, I think, years, and she finally, at the end, died, and I don't remember her name at this moment, but
Jose.
I'm just, pardon me?
Jose.
And I'm just wondering, how was that for you in this, I mean, I think that one of the things that happens with treatment is physical treatment, because you were speaking about your mom, is that we tend to go into the physical realm very quickly and stay there with the treatment process. And I know that in this example with your mother, and also I think in your treatment process with Josie, that there was there were mystical aspects of that whole process. Can you be more clear about that?
Yes, well, to start with my mother, that was back in 1992. What I already told was, I came into that room, the doctor came out and said, call all the relatives because she's going to die. And I had this voice like, no way. They can't treat her, you can. So, and that was by somebody standing behind me, tapping me on the shoulder, do your work, boy. So I just did that. And, well, there was nobody standing behind me because I was coming in into the room alone. And I did what I have to do. I did what I had to do. Treat her. And, well, as I said already, and I can't go into specific details because I have too much respect for the symbols, but the first symbol showed itself very clear to me. I didn't recognize it that time, but it was so clear. And it really made me, brought me tears to my eyes, and that wonderful. And then with Jose, actually what happened was Jose wrote a letter to a magazine that Elena did read at that time about her having breast cancer and coming back and coming back and coming back. So she was actually looking for someone to share with. So she, Elena wrote a letter to her, and one day she called, like, okay, I'm willing to come over. And Elena did the first few treatments. And, well, the three of us, actually the four of us, our husband as well, felt connected immediately. Like, we know each other already. This has to be. And, well, her cancer became worse and worse until the end. She had bone cancer of bones. So that was, well, in a physical way, maybe a lost fight. But on the other hand, she regained so much peace through Reiki that she said, well, okay, this end is ending, of this life is ending. And I am most definitely certain that we will meet in another life again. And she died on a Monday, and we were there on Friday, mm-hmm. before she died. And, well, we were there to say goodbye. And she said, well, goodbye, we'll meet again. And that was also not Jose talking. That was so powerful that, well, she was weakened, of course, by the cancer and by all the treatments and the chemotherapy and all the shit doctors put in your life, in your body. But this was so powerful, like, okay, we won't see each other again in this life, but we will meet again. And I know it will be good. It's like, well, yes, we know.
So I just want to interrupt you a little bit. Can you give me a definition that you have of a mystic experience? A definition? Because what I feel is this energetic, and I'm just wondering if you can put it into words.
What the mystic experience for me is the ability to make your ego so small that the better part of yourself, your higher self, your super ego, can speak through you.
Uh-huh. Fascinating. We'll be back after this station break. This is Philip Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! Alright then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today on the show a student from the Netherlands, Boudewijn, and he is talking with us about his definition and his experience of mystic order, the mystic experience, which has to do with the ego. So now I want Boudewijn to ask you what you mean when you speak of the ego.
Well, the ego for me is actually the way we are raised. You once pointed me out to the book of Four Agreements, and basically the writer of that book, I don't recall his name, has his definition of ego, which really I can connect to. It's all the thoughts of those who, with good intentions, raised us with their ideas and our response to what our cultural environment expects from us. Whereas our true self is like a non-domesticated animal. And be truly itself, like little children. They don't know about rules and regulations and expectations and earning your money and doing your job and blah, blah, blah. And they are genuine. They're so real. And I think if we can let go of expectations of others, like you shouldn't dance on Sunday, or you shouldn't drink a wine with your lunch, or whatever. You can be much more free and really speak out what lives in you. Mm-hmm. And, well, as I said in this email, what you started this whole conversation with, ego changes over time. You get new ideas, you come into a new environment, you meet new people, you hear about other things, and your judgment changes. Through the years, your judgment changes. You become a little bit more mild, like, okay, no need to be aggressive about things. It's just a laugh. And so ego changes all the time. And if we can look behind the changing thing, which we call ego, ego is a mask. If we can look behind the mask and see the true person, I think that's a mystical experience in itself, if we can do that. But that's very hard to do.
Uh-huh. Could you repeat that again? That was interesting.
Ego is a Latin word which stands for mask.
Uh-huh.
If we can look behind the mask of ourselves and of others, which is very difficult to do, I think if we just get this glimpse of what the other is, what we are truly ourselves are. That is a mystical experience by itself, like
mm-hmm.
a light shining through. Maybe very shortly, but that, I think, is one of the things that makes a mystic experience a mystic experience.
Fascinating. It's a new working definition for me, and I'll have to sit with that for a while, because sometimes I can get an instant connection to the way that I look at it. But you know, one of the things about these shows is that I really want to provide people with, and myself actually also, a whole range of perspective, because I feel that the truth in any one situation, whatever that means, is often stimulated by receiving different impetus from different places of the circle. Because, you know, if you look at something from one part of the circle and I look at it from another part of the circle, my own perspective, then the truth is somewhere, I feel, in the middle. Mm-hmm. And a combination of these perspectives rather than a right or wrong kind of energy.
I don't think that there is a right or wrong, because even right or wrong is a judgment by the ego itself, and ego itself changes. So any value given as this is right, this is wrong, is without value, actually.
Fascinating. So let's go to, speaking of right and wrong, let's go to the precepts, because a lot of people, a lot of students, especially in the beginning, feel that the precept speaks to what's right and what's not right, or we could say wrong. And for me, what happened for me when I received the precepts was a way of life that I couldn't really understand how to get to. My first experience of the precepts was with my grandmother, and I was worried about her getting to someplace on time, and we were dependent on another person showing up on time and giving us a ride, which, of course, he never showed up on time. And so I always felt like we were late, and she would just say, "Just for today, don't worry. Just for today, do not worry." You know, and I would go, "Well, how can you not worry?" And she'd say, "Well, we will get there in the time that we get there, and it will be the perfect time." And I said, "Yes, but we're not on time." And she said, "Well, you don't know that, actually, at this moment." And sometimes that was true. Sometimes he would come late, and we would still be on time. And then there were other times when he would be late, and so would everybody else. So it never worked out that there was this rule that I could go by, right? Except that if I didn't worry about it, it would make life much pleasanter for everybody, including myself. And so that's kind of a psychological, emotional kind of perspective on the precept. And I'm just wondering, how do you hold the precept then as a mystic, part of the mystic experience of Reiki?
Well, Reiki is universal life power. That's what I learned.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we come into a situation that we don't like. As what I told you in 2005, I was asked to clear my desk at the job I had at that time. And I was totally upset, like, "Hello, there's a mortgage to pay. I would like to buy some food for myself so I can live." So I was worried sick at that time. And actually what happened was that I got the idea, well, I have to be self-employed. And I haven't had a good, better life ever since. So we can worry about situations that develop for us. But looking back, I think I worked myself towards that situation that I had to leave there. And that gave me the feeling like, okay, well, maybe I do have a part in this, but it feels all right for me. It's okay to leave there. I've had that experience. Leave it behind. Don't worry. Something.
Uh-huh.
I'm clearing the desk for something else to come on the desk.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I had numerous experiences like that in my life where, looking back, things always went out for the better.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So if it's about just for today, don't worry. Okay. Sometimes we do worry. Yes. We come into a situation that we don't like. Okay. Do what you can do. What's beyond, what's within your powers. And then trust. That's all there is we can do.
See, the interesting part is that I keep going back to my own definition of Reiki, my own understanding or definition that I hold of mystic experience, but I see that this is consistent with your, the way that you hold mystic experience, and it's a very interesting place to be. I mean, I'm fascinated by this application of this lessening of ego in order to open the door for mystic experience. Mm-hmm. And I think you also have mentioned the symbols that I would, you know, venture into a kind of unknown subject for me, especially on this show, because I don't like differentiating between first degree and second degree Reiki. But in this case, what I see is that this even just the use of symbols itself, not even the experiences that we have within this experience of using the symbols, is a mystic experience in and of itself, just having the symbols.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we're going to come back to this after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT-1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT-1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with Boudewijn Ludrich of the Netherlands, and he and I have been talking about mystic experience as, in his definition or way of holding this mystic experience, it has to do with ego. And we were talking a bit about I was just thinking about the symbols because this has come up in our conversation. And this whole idea, actually, of using symbols in and of itself is a mystic experience, because it seems like, through your definition, that you have to let your ego be small enough in order to allow the symbols to be formed and do their job. Would you say that was true?
Yes, absolutely, very good.
So can you talk a little bit about the symbols and mystic experience for yourself?
Yes.
In this quality of ego?
Yes, I can. Actually, the way I experience the symbols for a long time already is that they are personalities themselves. What makes a personality? It's a name. It's a form. And it's the very essence of the energy of this person. Uh-huh. I mean, I can imagine Phyllis Furumoto as I know her, but I couldn't imagine her in a three-part suit with a big hat on and a cigar in her mouth. It would change your look completely, and that would not do you justice. So, to me, working with the symbols as like I approach them as a person that I respect very much. And, it's not like asking, will you do work for me? It's like confirming, I know you will do work for me, but in a very respectful way. And, well, it is therefore that I can completely agree with the fact that you should not speak about what the symbols do, because it's, again, a very personal experience. You can only tell, well, this symbol is doing this, that symbol is doing that, and try to experience it yourself. Try to find out what it does for you.
Uh-huh.
And you can share experiences, but it's simply not done. It's not appropriate to share the symbols with everybody. And what I do on a regular basis, okay, I am an IT person. I work with computers, I do programming, I do SQL select statements, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you run into problems. I give myself Reiki then with the symbols. And it's like the solution is simply coming up.
Uh-huh.
I am in a situation with one of my dogs that I'm training. I'm training them with the sheep. And there's a problem which I didn't know how to solve, so I go to the dog, give the dog Reiki, give myself Reiki, and it all of a sudden works out.
Wow.
I don't know how Reiki does that. I don't know how the symbols do that, but I respect it very, very much.
Uh-huh. So does that make you feel smaller in relationship to all that is, or does that make you feel a part of it, or
makes me feel part of it?
A part of it.
Makes me feel part of it. Well, okay. When you do sheep trialing, what I do with the dogs, and the dogs are sometimes 200-300 meters away, like running around the sheep, driving them up to you. But there has to be a connection between you and the dog, and sometimes you lose this connection, especially when the dog is still young. So when you give them the chance to calm down, and Reiki actually does that, and a dog has no belief system.
Right.
In that respect, I can tell that Reiki works. A dog, an animal, has no belief system, but it works.
Uh-huh.
And because they're calming down then, the training is much more joy. For myself, as well, for the dog, as well, for the sheep. And it's like this, well, unmentionable energy field that you can maybe compare to the fog in the early morning. It's everywhere. It covers everything. It comes into your skin. It comes into your hair. You get all wet, and you have all this foggy energy. But, well, this energy, quite obviously, is a lot more clearer than the early morning mist. So, yes, that's how I feel Reiki, and whether you call this Reiki or a god or whatever it is, I think it's a name.
Uh-huh.
But this energy is so much more than just a name.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In your email to me, you said this: if we had no body at all we could do was think and feel.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we have a body, we can act according to our thoughts. So that was really interesting. It gave me a feeling of somehow being mobile. You know, like imagining a being with thinking and feeling. And I think we associate movement with our bodies. But I'm just wondering, in this case, which reminded me when you were speaking about the sheepdog, that this connection that is has a lot of substance between you and the dog. I'm just wondering, do you feel yourself then moving with your connection as a substantial part of yourself, or would you say,
Yes. Yes, absolutely. What I experienced several times is that, you want the dog somewhere. So you follow the dog with your energy. And if your energy stops at a certain point before the dog is there where you want him to be or her to be, the dog also stops. And if you lead him through with your energy,
mm-hmm.
he goes exactly where you want him.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then, well, a dog, of course, has very sharp ears, very sharp hearing, so you can simply say, lie down, or give the whistle command. And he reacts. And if you are panicking, like, this is not going right, and you then say, lie down, lie down, lie down, the dog says, up yours, I am building my party.
Uh-huh.
And you lose the connection then. And if you stay calm, and simply trust the dog. Like, okay, I know you can do it. Go there. And now lie down. There is this immense connection that is beyond words. And it's like, well, some people call it you can read the dog. But it's like much more like you read the dog, but the dog will reach you as well. And so there is this combination of two beings that are interconnected. And just the idea that we are not connected because we do have a body is, well, limiting, of course.
Uh-huh.
But if you can go beyond your body and say, okay, I know you can do this, I trust you in it, the dog and other human beings respond to it. I mean, see what modern management these days teach. If you have well-trained people, trust them. Don't try to bust them around.
Right.
And the energy changes as well.
Right.
So, and that, too, can be a mystic experience.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, great. Oh, amazing. This has been a very good conversation, Bodwin, because I feel that it brings us to this very... to having a mystic experience be a very important part of our daily life, and not just once or twice in a day, but just continually throughout the day, seeing this as a quality of being. And I think that this is an amazing process, because I think that at one point as a human being, having mystic experiences, we go, God, that was just my imagination, or that wasn't real. And then as we move into, understanding that these are things that happen to us all the time, and we don't have any real box to put them in, we don't have any reasoning or any rational way of coping with it, we just start accepting it as a way of being, then we notice that it happens more and more. Would you say that that was accurate for you?
Yes, that's absolutely accurate. What I would say is, if you think something is not real, sometimes people do fall in love and they have this immense feeling. And you can't reason about it. It's just there. And if you can bring this feeling of intensity in your daily life with everything you do, whether it's work or you have a perfect meal or a deep conversation with your Reiki master, or when you're training people or you're developing something or you're creating something, it's fantastic. And that is a mystic experience. I mean, 2,000 years ago already was told by a guy called Jesus. He told, actually, life itself is a mystic experience.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't change ever since.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Bodwin. Good words to end with.
Yes. Well...
Thank you very much for being on the show.
Okay. It was my pleasure as well.
Be good.
Okay.
This is Philip Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.